I'm feeling good. There's some good food up there this morning. And I went and grabbed it ahead of everybody else because I'm an unselfish creature today. Last week? Yeah, whenever it was they were brought, the mollies and all would come. And I went up there to get one, and it was like, nothing. It wasn't even a grease spot. Somebody had literally just licked the dish, and I said, well, so today, charged up there and grabbed it right off the top and said, let's be really, really selfish this morning and self-centered and eat these things. And so I did. I'm the swift fox today, and I'm an endangered species. That's right. I was the fastest fox in the bunch. It's probably a good... that's right. Tony the Fox. That'll work. It's better than Tony the Rat. So Tony the Fox is much better. We're going to talk... I could not find how to title this. So finally we went with this and just thought, Lord, what is it? And it's like, we're going to go with On Guard. Is that okay? That's okay. And so just titled it, On Guard. Got to be on your guard on everything. It's not a message to say, it's not a scary thing. It just goes in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. The verses we have are for the sake of condensing the message, but just so that you know the background to it, part of this, and I'm trying to how to say this because I didn't want this to sound gloomy, but 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 is a graveside passage, okay? I use it for gravesides and doing the graveside service more than any other passage. And so you don't have that in your notes, but I want you to know the background because it talks about, and it's appropriate for graveside messages because it says, we tell you this directly from the Lord, we're still living. You won't have this. I'm giving you a little background so that we'll lead up to it because I just didn't want all this in there. But it talks about we that are living when the Lord returns will not go ahead of those who have died. And so when people are standing there and it's their last deal and their loved one is about to be interned, then you want to leave this with them for the Lord himself. And by the way, I'll bring a message on this someday when the Lord leads, but just know this, the Lord will come from heaven with a shout. People say, how will we know for sure that Jesus is coming? It says, you'll hear him. And it won't be somebody saying he's over here, over there, and all this garbage. It says he'll come from heaven with a commanding shout. So there's your first indication how you'll know. And then the voice of the archangel, I don't know what that's going to sound like, but I know the next one we'll hear, and it says, and with the trumpet call of God. So if anybody ever asks you and say, well, how will we know if Jesus is coming? Well, he's going to shout that he's coming. The archangel's going to shout that he's coming. And if they still don't get it, he's going to blow the trumpet. And the whole earth will hear it, no matter where you're at. So don't worry, you won't miss it. Now, the question is, will you get to go with him or stay here? That's the question, but the whole earth will know he's come. You know, some of these movies that show how he sneaks in the night, all of a sudden people just jerked up and everybody's wondering. That's not what it says. It says this is going to be a big event. Whoosh, we're caught up in here. That'll be pretty neat, huh? You know, Star Trek doesn't have anything else. You know, you don't have to use anything and zap them up. I mean, we're going in an instant, man. You'd be shot right out of your shoes. Up you go. But it says, and you don't have this, you can just read this stuff, the believers who have died, they're going to go first, and they'll rise from the grave. So graves are going to open, and the bodies will be brought back together, and up they go. That'll be a sight, won't it? And some of these folks today who don't believe in the Lord and who are out here acting like they're acting, boy, that's going to be a shocker. And then those who are alive and remain to be caught up together with the Lord and they'll meet him in the clouds and be with him. So he said, that's the good stuff that's going to happen. No person of his, when he calls us out, no one of his will be left. So don't worry about it. Now those that reject Jesus, they need to worry a lot because the ones who remain, that's another story and more material that they're going to suffer and suffer big time before it's done. So now we lead in to our part, and we break in verse 5, and it says, he'll come like a thief, but he's going to really announce his coming. Boom, here it comes. And so it's like, it's just that it's going to happen so sudden. I mean, it'll be when we least expect it, like a thief in the night. And that's where we get these things you've seen in some Christian movies where people are taken up in the night and nobody knows. No, he wants the world to know, but he's going to do it so suddenly it will be like a thief that came in the night and just hit you sudden. And he said it'd be that quick. And anyway, so he said, you're not in the dark about these things. Now let's get to the part to where we have up here and we're going to look at today. This is background. He said, you know all of this is happening. And he said, so what he's saying is, you got to be on guard. That's what you got to be ready for this thing and doing what I want you to do. That's what this message is about. So we begin with verse 5 that you'll have up here through verse 8. He said, for you are all children of light and of the day. And it's important we get this. We don't belong to darkness. And my pages stuck together. Now, I always work these so they won't do that, but they did just now. So we continue in this. So I'll do it again. For you are all children of light and of the day, and we don't belong to darkness or the night. So here's what he says. Be on your guard. Be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Stay alert. Be clear-headed. Huh, that's a big task for today's society, isn't it? But not for Christians. But he says, stay alert and be clear-headed. Night is the time when people sleep and drinkers get drunk. But let us who live in the light be clear-headed, protected by the armor of faith and love, and wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. You can read the rest. It's good stuff. Christ died for us, whether we're dead or alive. When he returns, we can live with him forever. This, you need to read before and after to get the whole, but I'm taking a piece so that we can focus on this part of the message. So first of all, we say we know this, but we're going to hit these points because it's valuable. It's necessary, especially with what we're looking at happening all around us. And the first point is this. You know, we're a child of the light. Christians are a child of the light. I abbreviated some of these points. A child of the light, that's what we are. He said, you're the salt and you're the light on this earth. And that's what we are. But we're going to look at the light today. Jesus is our eternal light because he's our eternal life. And he lives in us to give light through us. And now listen to this. Jesus Christ lives in us to give light through us. And you know, when he said that we Christians are the salt and the light, you know, you've read that part. I brought messages on it. But listen to me. We can't produce that in ourselves as Christians. How can we produce salt? How can we produce light? And this is where the glitch is. I've heard messages. I've listened to a lot of teaching, you know, in the seminary stuff and all that. And you hear this thing, you know, we're the salt, we're the light. What does that mean in the Greek and blah, 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 and Aramaic? And you're going, oh, God. Okay. And then you finally get down to, so we're to go out and be the light. And my question is, what, in our own power? I can't light up anything. As a matter of fact, if we're honest with ourselves, we're only, as Christians, when we're walking in this light, we're just one step away from the edge of darkness. You ever thought about it? When I walk out in the night with a flashlight, I realize it doesn't take much to step out of that beam and I'm in the darkness. I mean, and that's where we are as light. And it can be a precarious walk. You have to stay in fellowship with the Lord. And so, as Jesus Christ is given control of your heart, your mind, your soul, spirit, will, emotion, of your body, as his temple, his light begins to shine through you brighter and brighter and brighter. And I'm to walk in the very light that Jesus gives emanating from me through his spirit, through the power of his word. I also am to walk in that light and bring that light to you and to you and to you and everybody around me. But if I get out of fellowship with him, if I'm not on guard, if I let my thoughts wander, if I start getting caught up into the philosophy around me, I start moving out of fellowship, and as each step I take away from Him, my light grows dimmer. Until eventually, a Christian is walking with just a little, tiny, little feeble spark and stumbling over everything. And I would suspect that at one time or another, a good many of us have probably been there for one little period of time. Have we not? Yeah? You know, okay, some of you have. Okay, you have too? I never thought you'd ever done that. Okay. Me too. Me too. You know, I had my experience. And I just broke. And I've shared some about that. But it was a long 7 years in my life, going into the seventh year that God redeemed me and brought me out of that. But so what I'm talking about here is scriptural, but it's also experiential. I've experienced it. I left the ministry and told God, you know, no more. Imagine that, a man telling God, no more. Not going to pastor ever again, don't ask me. You know, I was so hurt and so broken, and I was so disillusioned with the church. Because everything we tried to do was butchered, fought. Anything spiritual, you know, that broke the little legalistic system was attacked and criticized. It was cruel. So, nonetheless, and then there was other things added to that, and Tony wakes up one day to find himself not only with no light emanating from him, I couldn't even find the little spark. I know it was there somewhere, or I would have been gone, perished. But there was that little tiny spark. God never let it go out. And then I'm sitting out looking at the sky, and it was one of those night skies that just the stars seemed like they were just, you've been in those moments and they seem like they're just coming right down on top of you. And I was sitting there, and all of a sudden a thought came to me, and it was like, what hit me was I felt this hot burning, and it's hard to describe. People told me, it's true, it's real. I felt real hot, and like it was burning, like there was something around me. I did, and then I realized what it was in a little bit. It was God, His Spirit. But suddenly there came back, and there was this, what are you doing here? I heard it in my heart, my mind. What are you doing here? And then I asked the question out loud, where am I? Was when I came out of this, whatever it was I was in, this darkness, I didn't know where I was. I didn't know where I was spiritually, emotionally. And I looked around trying to figure out physically, where am I? What am I doing? And I couldn't answer it. To this day, I can't answer that. People have asked me, Tony, what happened to you? I don't know. All I know is that I'm sitting there by myself, my feet propped up on the big old rock, and suddenly all this experience happens, and what are you doing? What am I doing here? I don't know. Where are you? I don't know where I'm at. Yeah, praise God. He never lets us out. And that's how He began to move in my life. And then before you know it, an old friend of mine came to the rescue and just, he found me and just got me and loaded me up and tucked me away and said, come live with me. He put a little pallet on the floor of his one-bedroom apartment and said, just sleep there. Just stay here. I'll feed you till you get out of this. And that's how it began. And that's something. Some of you have heard this, but others of you haven't. That's my journey. That's what adds to this message today. That's the experience of what, when your light begins to go out, but it never went totally out. It was just a little tiny spark. See, God says He'll never leave us or forsake us, but it doesn't mean that light in us can't be covered up when we're hurt. You know what covered mine mostly? Pain. And I was looking for relief from the pain, the rejection, abandonment, hurt that went so deep. None of my military service training, anything could ever break that spirit in me. But that did. I met my match for the first time in my life. And it kicked me good. But God used it to take a man and mold me out of the denominational thinking, not attacking that, but to get me into thinking like He wanted me to think from His Word, not from what somebody said it meant, but from what it says. And He began to show me the truths and revelation of His Word instead of what somebody said it meant. And that's like, just read it and study it for what it says and bring that Word. But the new ministry is this, and it's for all of us. Minister letting it come from your heart, because you've been there, done that. And so a message like this on the light and how it can go out, I had to live it and experience it. But let me tell you this good part. When that happens and God pulls you out, because He'll never let you go, He goes searching for you. You know, life will swallow you up. There's a message I have coming one of these days pretty soon, like Jonah and the big fish. God prepared a big fish for me and it went, but I didn't die. I was kept alive. And then it brought me out and God begins to redeem and restore. So here's the deal. When it says we're children of light, and I have a suspicion about this. I can't prove this scripturally, but I have a suspicion, okay? You don't appreciate the light of Christ in your life and flowing through you until you don't have much of it anymore. Just like you don't appreciate food until you've had to go without it for a period of time. Then anything you see, believe me, people turn their nose at things, but go about 3 days without a meal, and I guarantee you, 3 or 4 days, and suddenly anything, sardines, tuna casserole, begins to be acceptable. You will change your attitude and your taste buds when you're really, really hungry. And I've experienced that and been out where we're really, really hungry. When the choppers didn't come, they didn't drop the supplies, you had nothing, and you're trying to live in the middle of nowhere, and it's like, we're hungry. And it's like, so you'll eat about anything? Not about. You'll eat anything. Anything. There comes a point. So, the point being, when you've been deprived of this, it's almost like sometimes we have to go through that to appreciate light and really want it to shine through us. And so let's move on with this. Enough of that story. But so I see that several of you have been through this, if you want to call it experience, adventure. And you want that light. After that, you never want that light to go away, do you? No, you. And so you'll do all you can. So that's the whole thing here. If it never has happened to you, then keep it from happening. But it happened to me, and I had to be starved of it. See, to really say, I don't want to, and when I got it back, I will tell you this, when it came back, it was brighter than it had ever been through my life. And I had more desire for it, because I'd taken it, here's the problem, and it's a problem in all of Christianity. We take God for granted, and we take His light for granted, we take its salvation, we take the Holy Spirit, we get to taking it for granted because that's all, we're just acquainted with it so much. It's like people, it's like, listen, I won't play around with this much, but husbands and wives, you got to be careful about this, or if you're not married, do with your friends. Don't get to taking people for granted. Renew your appreciation for them. Let your love get renewed. Let your feelings get renewed. Step back from it and say, you know what? This person is important to me and I'm just sort of ho-hum about them anymore because I'm so used to them. And that's what we do to God. And we have to renew that, you know, and God said, you know, and the scripture says, renew a right spirit within me. And we have to ask God for that. And let me be in love with you, Lord, all over again. Renew that light in me. Because it can sure get dim and you don't realize it. So we're people of the light. And that means you don't have to live in fear. We talked about fear last week. You don't have to be afraid. I was sent a really neat song, and Ryan, thank you for that. I wish I'd had it last week. It was about fear. A fear is a liar. What a good song. I don't even remember the name of the guy. But what was his name? Yeah, Zach. It was really fear is a liar. What a neat song. You need to find it. And anyway, but you don't have to be afraid, and you don't have, listen to me, as children of light, you don't have to live in shame or despair. When you have that light, somebody can say, oh, I remember when you were in darkness. What difference does it make? It's like, I don't, so? I'm in light now. I remember what you said. How can you get up there and say that? Or how can you go to that church and act like, I'm not acting. It's for real. Back then I was acting. Tell people that, you know, they say, well, you did such a stupid thing. Yes, I know. Back when I was an idiot, I was acting. I was performing on a stage, and you were. You were living up to somebody's expectations. You were doing what society said. You were falling in line with what the devil wanted you to do, and you were an actor on a stage, totally guided by a script written for you by the enemy. And then you accept Jesus Christ in your heart, and what do you find? He then gives you a script, the book of life He wrote for you. And it becomes alive, and you're no longer a performer, you're living it. This thing becomes alive. So before, you know, people can say to me, Tony, I remember when you did whatever, and then it's like, I remember that too. I'll never forget it, but the effect of it is forgotten. It's not there. Why? Because that was a performance. Now this is real. This is who I am, and He's who I stand for. And so I don't have to be ashamed. I can tell people, yeah, I'm really sorry that I did that or said that or that happened. But are you ashamed? No. Why? Jesus took that shame. He took my guilt. He took my sorrow. He nailed it to the cross. He cast all the sins into the depths of the sea and removed them as far as the east is from the west. So I don't have to hide. I can come out, come clean. Be free from all this. I'm a child of light. Doesn't make any difference what the past is. What makes a difference is the decision I make right now. I'm going to be a child of light that brings life to people. And one thing I learned in this, you know, I was saying, you know, you don't have to hide. By the way, you can't hide. If anybody's ever tried to hide from God, you can raise your hand here and say, it doesn't work, does it? Just try to hide from the Lord. Now, I've told God a few times, mad at people, you know, I'll just kill them until God they died. And it's like, yeah, He'll believe that. You know, and I don't want anybody to take me serious. That's just play. But, it, you know, I've thought that a few times, and it's like, yeah, right. And I've tried to get away from Him. So have we all, well, maybe not all of us, but a lot of us at times, but you can't hide from God. And I found, you know, have you ever tried to run from God and just find that everywhere you go, there's somebody there that is the light and they're just shining on you? That happens, doesn't it? You try to get away from the Lord and His people just show up everywhere. You know, it's like He's really a frustrating God at times. He won't let you get away with anything. You know, just anything. And it's like, no. He has a sense of humor, but He won't let you get away with it. He'll convict you. So, we're all here to shine, and as Christians, we're the light of the world. And I want you to remember something. I hear people a lot saying, well, they're coming after us, they're against us. There's so much out there on TV and in the media and all against Christianity, but I just made a little note to myself I want to share with you, and this is what God put on my heart, and it was like this. It was, and here's what came in my heart, and I knew it was from the Lord. He said, I want you to remember something. The very people that this message was originally delivered to were suffering at the hands of Rome worse than you'll ever know, Tony. So before you think that it's bad on this earth for you right now, you better remember that the very people here he's writing to were Christian people who were being persecuted. The Pharisees were behind it because they were Christians, but the Romans were after them. You had Caligula, you had Nero, you had these evil people, and it's like, you know, they weren't having a good old time, were they? These people were rejoicing in the Lord and being the light when everybody around them was trying to kill that light, and they refused to let it be put out. Isn't that powerful? They were watching their family members, their friends, be killed for being Christians, and these people still were shining as the light of Christ. And if they can do it, by golly, we can do it. We don't have that kind of stuff happening, and I'm praying it won't, but just think about it. they were being challenged and hunted, and they kept shining. And I thought, well, you know what? The same Spirit of God that was in them is in us. The same God they served as our God, the same Jesus. And if they could do it, I want what they had. I want that power. I want that light. And then they're not going to put out my light. Secondly, so he said, you're just on the second point. Sorry, I'll quit here in a minute. We'll finish it next time if we don't go far enough, if we run out of time. But be awake and on guard. There are some words in here that he uses, and I won't try to just harp on them. But he uses some words here. Being asleep, and he talks about the people of darkness, and they're, you know, don't be asleep like they are. And in the Greeks, what I wanted to give you, and I try not to do a whole lot of that, but when you look that word up, what it was, that term actually, night's the time when people sleep. He said, be on your guard, not asleep like the others. Has that ever, did that ever kind of bewilder you when you read this in whatever translation? What does he mean, don't be asleep? What he was using was a word that meant morally and ethically numb or sleeping. And what he said is this, the people of the night, the lost, the non-believers, they're morally numbed out. They're morally and ethically asleep. They don't have any sense of conscience. And so what he was using a term, actually a word that led to a term, that meant they're just morally, ethically dead, they're lax. And he said, I want my people to stay awake and don't be seduced by the moral, ethical laxity, the looseness of the society around you. And friends, that's one of our biggest challenges, is don't let it rub off on you. They're trying to teach it to these young ones in school. They're trying to teach them things that are wrong. They don't have a sense of right and wrong anymore. You know, but there is. And this is a book that tells you what's right and wrong. And our society wants to numb out and not be a light and not teach anything, say anything that offends anybody else. Let me ask you something, and just, this is a common sense thing. Can you stand for anything, believe anything that's not going to offend somebody? So it's stupid. It's a lie out of hell to believe that we can all live in this total equality and be and have such a language and such a lifestyle that no one's offended. I'll tell you who we have to worry about, Christians. Listen to me. We have to worry about offending, and it's not them and they. I have to worry, and you have to worry. I say worry. Be concerned about all the time that I don't offend God by adopting the principles of the world or adapting to them in my life. And we worry about offending people? What about offending God? And friends, that's what we're called to. That's what I have to say this morning. I need to be concerned that I don't offend God who died on the cross for me and rose again. And if it means I have to reject the principles around me, the society and its norms, then I reject them. Nobody seems to be worrying that don't offend this person or this race or this culture. Well, don't offend God. And He's the one that made us. And He's the one we serve. He's the one that owns the heaven and the earth. He made it all. And that's the one we focus on. And nobody seems to care. What about offending the Lord who made it all? Well, that's our concern. That's why we're Christians. And when God's calling us to it and said, be on guard. Don't be asleep. Guard against accepting any standards or lawlessness of the society that we live in. Antifa's wrong, friends. You don't have the right to go burning and destroying in the streets. You don't. Now, the Constitution protects, you know, the right to, you know, and to protest, but we're not in the constitutional law here this morning. As a Christian, we have other rules and ethics we go by. We have the Word of God And so all of this stuff, you know, and do away with the police and all they're mean. Yes, a few are. What? 2 or 3%? 90 plus, 97% or so of police officers work so hard to make it right, to do the right thing. But we take a few. Well, where do you go in life where there's not somebody that's a rotten egg? I don't know. I've never found it. Even amongst the disciples, there was a rotten egg. Was there not? By the way, I don't know. I just want to say this to you. When you laugh at honor, why are you shocked at traitors? And I'd like to say that to our government. You laugh at honor, then why are you shocked at people being traitors and doing the evil things they do? You make fun of what could have made them of noble character. You take the heart out of a person and then you wonder why they're a coward. You strip the spirit in a person and you wonder why they don't have a desire to live. Those are just my wondering thoughts, but I just think, yeah, you take honor, then why are you shocked at a traitor? We have to guard our hearts and our minds. So guard your thoughts and guard your lifestyle. Here's a note. I put a note to give you before I close here. A trap that you've got to guard against today. Listen to me. This is a big one. Everybody listen. One of our traps today in our society that's coming right, that's aimed, had not come in, it's aimed, Ben has been aimed at Christians, is people have a right to live like they want to. Let me challenge that with this. Not us. You and me, as Christians, and I've had this many times, and I've defended this right as a soldier, but listen to me. And then it hit me biblically, and I was thinking this, and then it was I just like God said, but you don't, do you, Tony? No. Because He said, whoever would come after me, let him take up his cross and deny himself and take up his cross daily and come follow me. The lost world is going to choose what it wants to do, but I don't have the right, because when I asked Jesus in my heart, I gave Him the rights of my life. I gave Him the right to own me. If you haven't done it, do it. I told Him, my body now is your temple. You have my heart, you have my body. I don't have the right to live like I want to. I have the obligation to live like Jesus Christ wants me to. Some of this stuff is staggering. You can tell I've been doing, God's had me doing some thinking. He's had me in the think tank with Him. Going through this and saying, wow, the things that I just take for, that's right. We have a right to live like we want to. And it's like, but not you. As Christians, we don't have that right. As believers in Christ, we're committed and obligated to Jesus' lifestyle. And by the way, that's in Luke 9:23, if you want that reference. If anyone come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. So I'm closing now with this last point, because your mind, you know, your heart can only absorb what your rest of you can take sitting in that hard chair. So let me close real quick. The third thing is just know that through this process, you have full protection. You're fully protected. And look what he said in here. He said, you're protected. Be clear-headed and protected by the armor of faith and love. And wearing as our helmet the confidence of our salvation. You see the play on this, right? You see where this is coming from over to Ephesians, the full armor of God. But you have protection in this. Don't think God's throwing you out there without battle armor. So keep your head in Christ. It says, you know, clear-headed. Friends, listen to me. You've got to be clear-headed. And what does that mean? Don't confuse with the stuff that you're seeing in reading in Facebook and on YouTube and certainly on any of the news stations. Don't confuse any of that with what God says. Right now, there's panic over the first of the year. there's panic, there won't be enough food, there's panic, won't be this, won't be that. I don't know what's going to happen the first of the year. God hasn't given me some word of prophecy. But I'm telling you that it doesn't hurt to be prepared. But that's not our text. Our text is to be clear-headed and don't let all of the threats and all the intimidations. And don't let the stupidity that you see right now, and there is stupidity, friends. Don't let the socialism that you see trying to encroach upon us get you to where you're losing ground or get you discouraged. Stand against it. Pray against it. I'm praying God will throw these people down and put His people in their place. I am. I'm not asking Him to send anybody to hell. We're not to pray that. We're to pray for God to throw them down and He can do it. As a matter of fact, pray for God to send a spirit of confusion and confuse them all against each other. He's done that with armies that were attacking Israel. He can do it now. I mean it. And put His people in place. But enough of that. You're protected by the armor of love and faith. You're protected by love. God's love for you and His love through you. Let me say this. In closing. We're really closing, but there's some closing points. We are not here to judge everybody, but we're here to love them to Christ. Everybody hearing me? I'm to look at their fruits and know them. He said, by their fruits you'll know them, but it's not my place to judge or condemn someone to hell. We good on that? But I can look at their fruits. But I'll tell you what else I've got to... Let me say this to you. Try to work this in and say it in a way without going into some long... I was thinking of the days when we had all the witnessing tracts and you went out and handed out these little... Everybody remember that? I don't know if you were in church in the old days. You had... They published all this stuff and it was called a little witnessing tract and it was all these little plans of salvation and you just go out and hand them out on the street. Most of the time they were just stacked, thrown in the gutters and the sidewalks and the streets. A few people picked them up. Let me tell you what was wrong with all that. You ready? When you walk up to someone and you just hand them a tract and walk away, why do you expect a person that's never been introduced to Christ to read that stuff? I'll tell you what they're reading. They're reading the face and the eyes and the attitude and the hands of the one that handed it to them. Here's our mission. Everybody ready? When Jesus said, go out into the world and make disciples, right? Teaching them everything I've commanded, baptizing them, doing all. Listen to me. You know the way to witness to people? I have people say, Tony, I just can't walk up and just say, do you know Jesus? He didn't call us to do that. When did He do that Himself? You know what Jesus did? Listen carefully so we can wrap this up. Because it ties into being the light. And to being on your guard and to doing what we're supposed to do. Jesus drew people out of themselves. When Jesus focused on a person to heal them, the woman at the well when He spoke with her, He made her feel as though she was the most important person in the world. And she was at that moment to Him. That's what Christians are here to do. We focus on people. We draw them out. We let them talk of themselves. We let them give us their thoughts and their feelings and share their hurts and their pains. We do it by our whole attitude saying, you're the most important person in the world to me right this minute. And they buy into that. And when a person knows that they're the focus of your attention, they will share with you, and you get a chance then to share Christ with them. And everybody in this place and everybody out there can do that, every Christian. And it comes through drawing people out of themselves. Even these people who are standing there and they're asleep, as the Scripture says, ethically and morally, the people would think, God, I just can't. If you just drew them out, just draw them out. Every waiter, every waitress, everywhere you go, the checker at the... If you just let them see that you recognize their significance as a human being, certainly not 100%, but I can tell you the majority of the people, when you do that with them, they're open to recognize that there is a Jesus Christ in you. that there's something that makes you different than all the hundreds they've seen already who've been so mean and gnarly and ignored them. Everybody with me? This, it touches my heart when I think about it. That we've had the wrong approach. Where all this, it's like, it makes you want to go find back whoever started printing all that stuff and saying this is the way. You just want to take them out and hurt them. And say, you made us into robots. You made this thing too mechanical because it's just throw a piece of paper, a little pamphlet in somebody's hand. That turns me off. If some people handed that stuff to me and it turned me off. I thought, you didn't pay me one bit of attention. You just put this in my hand, and that assumes you're telling me I'm going to hell, and so you think I'm lost. But when somebody walks up to you and says, how are you, huh? I mean, how are you? You look kind of sad. Are you okay? And you've been talking. And then they share what's in that pamphlet with you from their heart. After you know, they give you a chance. Think I'm going to listen more? Sure. Because I'm curious about why they even cared in the first place. And then they tell me why they cared. Because Jesus Christ cares. Really? He does? Well, that's why I'm here. He cared about me, and somebody like me came to me. And now you're important to God. You know? I care about your pain. So wear your helmet, the confidence of your salvation. And you remember this. You're the people of Jesus. You're His people. You let everyone around you see that you are Jesus' people. You honor Jesus because Jesus is honoring you. He loves you. He'll never leave you, forsake you. So get on guard. Get out there in this world. You reject its principles and its lawlessness and all of the things, its low ethics and morality. You submit yourself to Him and remember in the end, He's honored us by saving us. He's honored us by making our bodies His temple. Can you believe that? I look at myself sometimes and think, you want this as your temple? There was a time when I felt pretty good about this. This could run 7 miles. Oh, yeah. Y'all remember? We remember the days. Yeah. Yeah, real. There's a gal right there that didn't live far from me at one time, and she would get up in the dark and meet me and run those miles with me. That girl right there. She was a running girl. I never could leave her behind. And I did that because they were calling me up, you know, and all of a sudden I'd be back in the airborne unit somewhere. And so every day, I did all that stuff. See, got witnesses. Some pastors exaggerate, but, you know, I'm not. I have witnesses to the truth. Y'all know that too. The longest I ever ran was what? Steve Young and I ran a marathon. I'll never do that again. 23 miles, 20-something miles. 26 miles. That was it. One time, I ran 26 miles. I'm not doing that again. Don't do that. You say, Tony, the way you're going, you couldn't run 0.6 miles, could you? No, not anymore. So, but I look at the guy that was there and can do all that, and then I look at this and say, you want this as your temple? I can see that as your temple. This? You know what God's saying? Oh, yeah, because I'm fixing to take this one day, and I'm going to renew that dude. I'm going to give you a brand new body. And that body won't run 7 miles. It'll fly. That's not bad, is it? So let's go home today with this. Be on your guard. Don't believe the stuff you're hearing. Believe what's written in that book. Stand firm on it and let the light shine. And if it's not shining like it ought to, then you confess whatever you need to confess and get it right and get right back in there and let that light shine through you and pay attention to people. Let them know that they're important to you because they're important to God. God's honored you. Now honor Him. He's honored you by living in you. He's honored you, giving you salvation. He's a great God and you're a great people. And this is a good day to be all together and praise God for His goodness and His greatness. So stay on guard. Stay with it. And He's there always, never leaving you, forsaking you, always there. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank You for Your word. I thank You for Your people. I thank You that You just care about us, love us, and so good to us. And I thank You for Your magnificent, powerful word that invigorates us, renews us. Oh, God, it's good to be in here. It's good to serve You. It's good to love You. But it's better than anything to know that You're good to us and You love us. enough to give yourself for us and rise again. And we're going to come up and rise there and be with you always. And we thank you, thank you, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all for being here.